Blog Talk Radio.
Introduction with that song.
I love
know.
It. I love it. That's what they're going to put on my tombstone, you know. Here lies Juicy. They won't need my
okay.
name, brother. Here lies Juicy.
Okay.
How are you, my brother?
I am good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. But I just have to let you know that I've been following you on social media, and I noticed you because you would always put like great classic music on featured on your website. You know, what you would post. And it's like
right.
one day you had Leon Ware on. I said, okay, now I know this brother knows what he's doing. Because that Leon Ware album is one of my favorites, Musical
oh
Massage.
My God.
So,
yes.
you know, so I said, he knows from whence this music comes. So I'm so honored to be here.
Yes, and I know. And I just pretty much know all about your career as an artist and the background work of production that you did. I mean, it's very overwhelming because I see your resume. It's like I could name stuff on the top of my head. So it's like I grew up with you and with the group Entume, and
uh-huh.
pretty much what I see that you guys played a part of the foundation of soul music because you were very authentic in what your craft was bringing out, not just as yourself, as to many artists that you worked with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate
yeah, because you know when we were coming up, there were pockets of music in Philly. It had the Philly International, and in LA it was Solar, and you know and then they had the Jimmy Jam and Terry, and then there was the people from the Atlanta area, but Babyface. I mean, so it was pockets of music. And you knew who the production teams were by the sound of the music.
Exactly.
You know.
And
now
you guys,
don't know who did what because everything sounds the same.
Yes, exactly. And then that's why you guys, when you played a part in Entume, you guys' production was very authentic. It's like you knew it was the Entume sound, but you made everything sound different when you worked
yes,
with these artists.
Yes.
And
yes,
like
yes.
And I want to always ask you, like every time I look on some of the album covers like Stephanie Mills, I always ask, what is a vocal contractor? And everybody asks me too.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, a contractor is the person who hires the singers for the session. A contractor, well, when I was doing it, a contractor was also the person who did the vocal arrangements and taught the parts to the singers. The contractor
right.
was also the person who put the paperwork in so the singers could get paid.
Right.
And so
and I'll be, wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And let me tell you, that's how
mm-hmm.
I started, because Entume and Reggie and Tume Lucas Productions, everything was brand new. And I was a singer in the group, and they said, well, you know, you go down to the union and go down to AFTRA and find out what a contract is supposed to do. And that's what I did.
Right, because I've seen it on, like, they made sure your name was on every album cover. I mean, I said, oh, this must be big. And she's a vocal contractor. I was like, wow. And I see that on every Stephanie Mills album that I saw. I saw something with Phyllis Hyman. And, you know,
all of it,
and
so along. Production. Yes, mm-hmm. Everything.
And also, And also with Mark Sedan, also I saw that too. One Way Love Affair and
One Way Love Affair. Mm-hmm.
And Raina Scott saw that too.
Oh yes.
Yes. So interviewed her. I actually interviewed her about 2 weeks ago.
I heard it.
And she was in awe with you. I mean,
oh yeah.
Oh
yeah, because you know what? When they did a M2M Lucas Productions did a project, all the artists had to do was come in. Everything was together. All you had to do was come in and sing. I mean, they got the keys, you know, the keys that you could sing in and all that. And then what I would do was reference vocals for the songs that they were going to be singing. And so they had enough. So when they came in, everything was ready. All they had to do was, you know, come in and sing.
Wow.
Everything was ready.
And I know that you was a style that, when these artists come in and then they just listen to them and they take direction of what you want out of the song,
right. And of course, I mean, when you have great artists like Phyllis Hyman and Stephanie Mills and Rena and Mark Sedan, you know, they put their own flavor onto it, but they had the basic idea of what the song could be. It's not like we told you exactly what to sing note for note. We gave you the general idea of what the song was. Then you had to make it yours. I mean, well, they had to make it theirs, you know, to perform.
Right. And you know that when I listened to your solo album, Welcome to My Dream, I was very astounded with this. And I couldn't believe that this was actually your first solo project. Into me and some other artists. And I'm like, oh my God, I think she should have been put out of the project.
But you know what? You know what, Jay? Listen, and I want people to really realize this. When you're singing, a lot of times people don't want to be out front. A lot of times that's the ultimate goal is not to do the solo project. For me, I like singing background. It just so happens that fate dictated that something else would happen. I mean, you know, I'm singing in a band. I've got got the guys and everybody's playing, everybody's singing, moving, grooving. And then the record hits. It's like, oh man, I got to sing this every week.
Right, because I know you appeared on so many albums. Like, I can, like, Gary Bart's album, his Bart's album. Yeah. And also with Artie Webb when you did Can't Hide Love. So it's just many artists that you did seem to lead on, but I kept saying to myself, because I grew up with you, I said, man, is this woman going to put out a solo album?
But you know what it was? M2M Lucas Productions had production deals, so we would be putting out projects. We'd be putting out projects, and we would also have the opportunity to write songs for the artists that they were producing. So doing a solo project was like the last thing on my mind because I was constantly working. It's like, okay, now's my turn. Now I'll do a solo thing.
Yeah, because at that time with Intumi Projects, you worked with Luther Vandross on his stuff went on tour with him. Yeah, so you did a lot. So it's like your name was a household name because everybody knew
I didn't know that, but thank you.
Yes, it was. And also, part of that Luther camp, you did a song for Sheryl Lynn called, you wrote a song called Day After Day, which is one of my favorite songs off the album.
Thank you.
the lush of it, the instrumentation, the flow of her vocals, because that control of Sheryl, that's always I want to hear, because like her other previous projects, she will wow out and
because like, she's excellent at the up-tempo pieces, you know,
yes,
the up-tempo
yes.
songs. She had that down. And very seldom did we hear her sing a ballad. So
exactly,
you know,
unless you played a whole album, but they never commercially released them. And so when I listened to that album, actually that's my favorite Sheryl Lynn album, by the way. And when I heard the song that you wrote for it and questioned, were you there at the time when you did it for it?
When we did that, I wrote that. Let's see, Luther produced that. He said, Tawatha, I need a song for Sheryl Lynn. I wrote this song, and he liked it. And, you know, I did the demo, the same, it's the same formula. I did the demo, and he said, okay, fine. And I had the background parts and everything. So, you know, he loved it, and so did she. So they just did it. But you know what? You don't have to be there when the artist sings. All you have to do is submit your song, because the producer knows what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes if they're going to be background vocal parts there, then I would be there to sing the background parts. But you know, I don't have to be there or when the artist is actually doing the song.
Right, and I saw the credits of it, of your name right there. I'm like, this woman is phenomenal, and your voice stands out on a lot of albums. Like, I'm serious. Every time I hear something that you did with Entombed or some outside stuff, I hear your voice. I was like, I know who that is. Let me go check that credit. I knew who it was because your range and your vocals are so astounding and noticeable. I mean, you like
well,
one of them.
You know, it's just that you recognize the timbre of my voice, and you usually I sang second in the group with Luther, because he would let me either sing top or second. But it's like, no, I want to sing second because I want to sing under Sissy Houston, because she was the top queen. You know what I mean?
Come on.
So it's like, why would I sing top when you got Sissy here?
Right.
So,
it's so crazy.
I love to sing second. No, but that's
You're
true.
Like,
that's
on.
Very, very true. That's very, very true. So, I mean, I love to sing second. So, because, you know, I like to support the soprano. So that's why you would probably focus in on my voice, you know, on the tone of my voice.
Yeah, because I can hear it. It's like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. And especially with the Luther's song for the sweetness of your love, and you was under there with Sissy. You both was battling, and I kept saying,
"Look!" But it wasn't even that. You know what? It was just, it was so much fun. It was just like everybody was giving 200%, because you know Luther always knew what he wanted. He knew exactly what he wanted from each singer. So, and you know, and all you had to do was give him what he wanted. And it was like, and the sound came out great. We had such great fun doing all of his projects, and even when Luther sang on some of our stuff, it wasn't work. You know what I mean? Because it was so much fun.
Yeah, because he was featured on the In the Search of the Rainbow album with along with Gwen Guthrie and Brenda King singing background.
That's how I met Luther. I called him for a job. That's how I met Luther. I called him to do a job for us. Yes. Yes.
Oh, wow.
And then we hit it off. We hit it off, and then he started calling me for projects. And then when he got his deal with CBS, I sang on his demos for CBS, which was let me see. It was Never Too Much, Don't You Know That, and another song that I can't think off the top of my head. The vocals on Don't You Know That were from the demo. I'm serious. It was Luther Vandross, it was Philip Ballou, and myself. Don't You Know That?
Because that
and
album
Never Too Much.
Okay, my heart is beating fast on that one. I'm like, wow, okay, I'm learning
this
something.
This is just insider information, you know.
Right.
Insider information.
Yeah. And you was featured on that album, also singing background on that album too. So I can hear.
Oh,
I
never
say I can hear you. Uh huh.
Oh no no.
I believe no no.
Once what?
I thought it was Never Too Much. No, it wasn't.
No,
that
that,
one.
That was his first album. That was his first album. And
yeah.
So I sang on every Luther album except for one or two. And
mm-hmm.
one when Juicy came out, and then it was,
right.
There was another one that I can't remember right now. But I sang on every album except for two. He used, when he found the group that worked, he kept using the same people. So he
right.
had his sound. You know,
mm-hmm. And I think like with Entume, with you, when you played a part of that, because like I learned a lot watching the Unsung episode, and
oh, yeah.
you was part of a band called Hot Tea, which was with Angela Winbush and Richard
mm-hmm.
Smallwood, right?
And Richard Smallwood, yeah,
you
know, in college.
And
yes.
See, everybody don't want to say he was in that group, but. We know, but
oh no! Look! It was back in the day, and yes, we were there singing, and there was also a young man by the name of Shelton Becton, who the last I heard from him, he was the music director for Audra McDonald, and so he's been doing wonderful work, and then there was also a young lady by the name of Elette Ricks, who
okay.
She's a school, I think she's a school principal in Sacramento.
Mhm.
Yeah. So I mean, everybody did well out of that group, you know.
Mhm. Yeah, and I saw that, and so you know, James like pretty much took you in, and you know,
mm-hmm.
want to see what you got, and pretty much he saw what you had, but you know, the far like he didn't want you more as a he wants you more than just a vocalist, you know. And
well,
I
you know, it's
that.
Oh, absolutely. Do I really appreciate that too, because he saw something that I couldn't see. I was
mm-hmm.
in a group, and
right.
and we did some demos, and but it didn't work out. But and it just so happened that Entume and I lived in the same city. So when I got home from college, I gave him a call, and he says,
right.
"Well, you know, he was thinking about starting a band, and would I be interested in singing in his band?" It's like, yeah, I can do that."
Right, because it never
I mean,
dawned
it was
on
as
you.
Simple as that.
And so with the like the project, like my favorite project is "Kiss This World Goodbye." And
oh my goodness, that, you went way in the crates for that one.
Ooh, oh my God, that album. I listened to the album. I said. This album was like a collage of everything. And then when I heard The Closer I Get to You,
mm-hmm.
I said, so who did it first? That's all I got to ask to my head. So who did it first? Was it Roberta
Well, no, Roberta and Donnie did it first, and we just did we did a cover of his own song. That's what we did, because Entume wrote that. So, Entume and Reggie wrote "The Closer I Get to You," and we just put it on the first album, "Kiss This World Goodbye."
Yeah, and then another remake was on that album too, "Love Lock."
What?
Love
Lock. So,
yeah.
Who else did that?
Flora Plummer. Plummer.
Jazz
Flora artist.
Plum.
Yeah,
oh,
she
yeah,
did
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people are fans of that album, and they love like "Closer to the End." I mean, oh my God, that song! I'm just thinking about it, just giving me goosebumps.
Yeah, they,
so,
see, they always did great ballads. They always did great ballads, and if you
mm-hmm.
could ever see us do, moving from the "Kiss This World Goodbye," but if you could. If you ever saw us live, this was before like YouTube. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So,
right.
So it's not a lot of documentation of the band, but we were the best dressed. I thought we were the best band in the world, and our ballads were always killers.
Oh yeah, and I saw like the way that the costuming played a part of it, because at that time when you guys came out, everybody had the same costuming out around that time. You had Sky, you had Cameo, you had
right.
all that all that enforced in it, because that was in back in the day, because like your two albums, the Kisses World Goodbye and In Search of the Rainbow Seekers, you guys was dressed to impress. I was like, oh, they are here to, not to play. And then with
yep,
James
know,
that you made
what?
With the mask. Wow.
Oh, absolutely. 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 It was like Mardi Gras and Parliament Funkadelic
exactly.
all combined.
I was just about to say
and we,
that.
Back in the day, Jay, we opened for the Commodores, and you know, we were a new band, and their stylists would come down and say, how, mm-hmm. where are you getting all these clothes from? You almost be like the best dressed band. And they hadn't heard of us. So it was like, well, you know, we know people. We know
right.
people. But the band was very colorful, and we were known for our costumes, yeah.
And then so further along with the band, like the 80s came. So you guys were still working with Stephanie, and you actually you worked with the Spinners too.
Oh, yeah, the Spinners, yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm. With one of my favorite songs called You Go My Way, I Go Mine. I hear you.
Oh,
you
like my songs. I see you like my songs.
Yeah.
I see, because you're naming the songs that I wrote.
Right. And I knew you wrote that because the texture and the phrasing of the songs, and it's like it's still your song, but it's a different artist. And that's
yes,
what I loved
yes.
about the format of it. And then, like, the music changed a lot, because when I heard this Juicy Fruit album, I was just like, hold up, this wait. I said, not counting how many people was on the cover. I said, oh, what's going on?
Well, you know what? The music was changing, and what Mtume prided himself in doing was never repeat the same thing. Never
right.
do, you know, how somebody could have a hit, and then, like, the next three songs would sound like the hit before. So he never did that. He always prided himself in doing something different every time. So Juicy came out, the beat changed. The beat totally changed, because disco was coming in, and we were coming in with this slow song, but it was funky. It was still funky.
Right. That bass in it, that don't yeah,
oh my
no.
It was so primal. It was so primal. And so
mm-hmm.
everybody knows what that song is just by the beat. Everybody.
And it's one of the most sampled songs.
One of the most sampled songs in hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most sampled songs in hip hop. So, you know, he did a good thing. He did a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what was the, because I looked actually of the controversy of the song because of the content of the song.
Oh, because
and
of the lyrics.
I know, yeah, yeah, because of the lyrics back then. And then it's just so weird now that when I listen to it, I'm like, hold up, they were
there's
talking.
Nothing wrong with this song.
Yeah, nothing wrong with this song. Nothing
right,
wrong with
right.
this
but
song.
But back in the day, you know, they had censors. Even when we did the video for Juicy, we had to take out that line, you can lick me everywhere. We had to change
yeah.
that for the
candy
video.
Kisses
to,
everywhere.
Candy kisses everywhere. And it's like, and then it was like, oh, okay. Well, we'll see what happens. But this was the song, Juicy Fruit was the song. The record company did not like Juicy Fruit. The people loved Juicy Fruit, which made it a big hit. I mean, it was number one for like 8 weeks.
Because I still can listen to that After Six, the outro.
Oh,
the
After
album.
Six mix?
Yes. Hello. And then you
oh,
just,
you are a
like,
true, you are a true music lover. I see you are, because you've been going into the other side, the not even the B sides, the C and D sides.
Right.
I see that after
and everybody calls me a B side person, because I like when I go into music, especially interviewing the artist, I go into the crates of what they did, because that's
I
my
see.
Focus, especially
I
with
see.
You. And I told everybody to this day. And that should be for Stardom movie. I'm sorry. You should have been in that movie. I told everybody that.
You know what? That was not up to me. That's for sure.
Right.
That was not up to me. That was up to
right.
to the producers. And a lot of people got left out in that movie.
They focused on
people who worked with big rock groups.
Right. And I saw that too.
So if you look at it that way, a lot of people got left out.
Right, because you sure got left out, because I said you played a big part of these moments, and people
mm-hmm.
don't acknowledge
mm-hmm.
that. And so with you, like, building your own fan page with a website and posting your resume, it just shows the appreciation that you are still an artist
by yourself,
not just with a group. And so, like, with you working with the Dave Matthews Band, it was like, I see her still. I'm like, wow, still singing background
with
Luther.
Still singing. I'm still singing.
Exactly.
I did a tour last year, with Bryan Ferry. I did his world tour, and then he toured the States. And Bryan Ferry, I worked with in 1982. This was before Juicy Fruit. I worked with him before Juicy. And, you know, I guess if you can still work and they still want to use you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I always keep a good rapport with the people that I work with. So even if I can't do it physically, I can always recommend somebody, you know, if they ask.
And then,
but it's been a charmed life, my dear. It's been a charmed life. Very charmed.
I see. And then, after the Juicy Fruit album, and then it came with You, Me, and He, with
mm-hmm.
that album, and my favorite.
Another controversial song.
Yes, we are. Because I was listening to it, I was like, this woman singing so pretty. And then she said,
mm-hmm. But what is she saying?
It's like, I'm his lover, and she's your wife. I said, hold up.
Yeah.
I said, where is this song about to go into? And then they had the monogamy.
Mind
mix.
Of them too, mate.
That album was a storybook, especially COD, I Deliver. And
mm-hmm.
it was so crazy. I was watching one of Erykah Badu lives, and she was singing that song in the background. And I said,
what?
Yes. I was like, sing that.
Wow.
She said,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, COD. And then she said, I Deliver. I mean, she was singing.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I'm serious. That was one of the albums I wish that could have been pulled more the same way as Juicy Fruit.
Oh yeah. Well,
and Prime Time.
What can you do? Yeah.
And
Prime Time. Ooh,
that
man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I know that whole album.
Oh yeah.
That was a good album. It was a good run for
it.
But
when I was watching
The Unsung again, and James was, like, really pissed about the direction of the video, because he was just like, look, these are not the people that listen to my music. I want my people in this video. So I love the direction that he used to give out, because he had a brand. So he wanted to protect his brand. He didn't want to overshadow and make it commercialized. He stick to his brand, and that's what I loved about
him. That's right. That's right.
And
he would always say, you know, people always aspire, I want this record to go pop, you know. I want to have a big pop record. And, you know, and he would always say, you want to go from what to what? I mean, you know, you got to sing songs for your audience, you know, and if it does well, fine. But as long as your people know what it is, it's cool. It's like even to this day, if somebody just plays, like you played the intro to Juicy, I mean,
uh-huh.
They know
right.
what that is. But and even You, Me, and He, and that we had a song called You Are My Sunshine that was not a single, but the audience would sing it all the time. The audience would sing the whole song, you know.
I was going to tell you, the other direction that, you know, you guys went into, because around that time, you was working with actually the group called Tease.
Mm-hmm. With Kipper.
Yes. Shout out to Kipper
yeah.
Jones. That's Uncle Kipper.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And I heard, oh my God,
what was the guy's name? He became Janet Jackson's MD. The guy that played the piano.
Chucky.
So it's like, who are these kids? Who are these kids coming in here? And it was these keys.
Right.
Yeah.
But they had
good songwriters.
That project that you guys worked on, that was a good, solid project for them. And, you know, and I was like, wow. And I knew you was involved with it. And that's what I love about James, that he keep pulling you in with him. Like, you like the, like he's the sensei, and you have to, you know, you learn it.
Well, that's what the producer does. And when the producer really produces, as opposed to delegating work to somebody else, I mean, he was very hands-on. So,
exactly.
You know. This is what you get. This is part of the production project. I was part of that, but I made great contributions. You know, so everybody had something to say. So I was like, you know,
And then also you worked on Roy Ayers' album.
Oh yes. Oh no! Everything that M2A produced was we were all a part of. And like I said, we all had the opportunity to we would compete. The band members and two main band members would compete to write songs for each project. So you know, so everybody had a chance to show what they could do. So
yeah, because around that time, around that time. That when you worked, when you still was doing the Entombed with that Roy Ayers album, I was just like really surprised that he went into that element to work with you guys. I mean, it was just
you mean Roy?
Yes, Roy. Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but you know, Entombed and Reggie and them, they all knew each other. They were all jazz players, so they,
yeah.
I mean, some of them played with Miles together. They played with Roberta Flack, and so everybody knew everybody. So it's like, you know, there was no thing. It was just like, okay, let's do this project. Let's try to make this paper, you know, and put out some good music.
Right, and that's exactly what you guys did, because that Program for Love. It had the Tawatha Gee Choir feature.
Right?
Yeah. And I was like, yeah. And my friend, I sat around and I was playing it one day. They was like, who is that? Is that Entombed? I said, no. I said, that's Roy Ayers. It's like, yeah, right. Roy Ayers ain't going to do no album like that. I said, yeah. He did an album with that. And my girl Tawatha is singing in that background. That's her.
Right, but it was an Entombed production, so they recognized the production sound.
That's what
when I said it in the beginning of the conversation, there were pockets of music. There was Philly International, there was a Solar Records, Jimmy Jam and Cherry and LaFace, and you know, it was just a lot of, you know, everybody had a sound.
Right,
so
and
that's why
your
friend recognized the sound, even if he didn't recognize the artist. Yeah.
Right, but he knew that voice.
Yeah.
And then so going on with your solo album around that time, and then you guys did, I guess your last album was Theaters of the Mind. And I saw how the direction, how the music was formatting, changing. And like for your album, I felt that project should have been pushed more, because everybody's fan favorite is No More Tears. And I actually posted it on my page, and I was having a moment, and I had to pause myself. I said, I'm interviewing her today. And because that song is like a storyteller. I mean, you just like, I'm fed up. And then, oh my goodness.
I thought you loved me because that's what you said. I let it go straight to my head. Your love was my weakness. That was my first mistake.
Ooh, is this coming from a personal place? Because I mean, that pen was lethal to that pad, because I felt that. I mean, was like, ooh, this needs, I like.
But my favorite line was, a full-time woman can't use a part-time man. That was my favorite line.
And then you went up with that man. I said, oh, my goodness.
You the part-time man. Oh,
You're going to have me go church on here on Sunday? Because that song is a testimony. I mean, and a good closing out for the album. And then it was some other songs I like on there. I like Love Shine. That was my goodness. That's my favorite one. Uh-huh. And The Wait Is Over. The Waiting Is Over.
Yes.
And the single that was released from, actually two singles were released from that album. Am I correct?
Did I Dream You?
And Thigh High.
Thigh Ride and Did I Dream You?
Yeah.
You want to ask me about
Thigh Ride. What is the Thigh Ride?
Well, you know what? The Thigh Ride is the same thing as Juicy Fruit. When we did Juicy, people were saying, oh, the song is so obscene. I didn't see anything wrong with it. I was just happy to be singing. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, and Thigh Ride, we just wanted to catch something, get a clever phrase. So Thigh Ride could be whatever you wanted it to be. Whatever in your imagination you dreamed it could be, then that's what the Thigh Ride is.
So pretty much you just want to keep it subliminal. You can think of it whatever y'all want. Y'all heard it here first.
Whatever you make it. Whatever you make it out to be, that's what it is.
Right. And then I'm serious. In my other song I like on there, I like Love Goes Higher. That's my other track I love. Yeah. So the album was very polished. I mean, production-wise, and then the insert of the cover with you and James on there. I mean, the chemistry was amazing with this album. That's why I felt that it should got pushed more with it. And then shout out to Funky Town Grooves that reissued the album because I actually bought
it. Oh, right. That's right. They did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They really
and
did.
So,
yeah.
So it's so good that people are still have your music out there. Like, just
you know what? I feel so fortunate that people still want to hear it. You know, they still want to hear
exactly.
it. I mean, a few years ago, I did a few dates, and you know, and you know, like those Valentine's Day shows when they have like the Delphonics and the moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did a couple of those dates. And, you know, people really want to hear the classic soul music. They still want to hear it. And the audiences, the shows were always sold out. They were always in big arenas. And it's like, this was really cool. It was really cool to do that. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. And even though I only had a few minutes, you know, Juicy Fruit, You, Me, and He, and, you know, and something else. So it was like, it was cool. It was cool.
And also, you did a track, I believe, was it in 2018 with this group called Aeroplane?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Aeroplane. Aeroplane, he was a DJ from Belgium. And he had been trying to get in touch with me, and finally they got me. And it's like, would you sing on this song? It's like, sure. And it turned out really well.
Love's on hold. I love that
Love
song.
On hold.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Love on hold. Aeroplane.
And then also you were featured on the late Lolita Holloway's Can't Let You Go, singing background vocals.
Oh, yes, with Louis Vega called us in for that. Me and Cindy and some other people. It was great. A lot of fun singing on that because Lolita Holloway, what a voice.
Oh my God.
What an amazing voice she had.
And so I call her the vocal beast. I mean, she growls when she sings.
And you know what? If I tried to do that, my voice would be gone. but she could do it. She probably woke up singing like that. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, I wish I could do that.
And it's like, I hunch up my shoulders with her when I sing because I'm like, you feel it.
And
you know,
do that for an entire song? Come on, that's a lot. But obviously,
right.
It was easy to her. It was easy for her. But she, what a great voice. What a great voice.
Yeah,
what
definitely.
Voice,
and then, you know, so are we going to be expecting any new music from you?
Yes, you will
Woo!
Be getting new music. We are, you know what? We were going to do it last year. But I got the Brian Ferry tour, so I had to do that.
I saw that. I said, "Oh man, my girl on hold now."
I had to put everything on hold, and so we will be going back in the studio working on some new songs, some new material, and you'll probably hear something later on in the summer.
I'm serious, so
unless I get called
for another
tour.
Hey, if you want to get called for another interview, hey, I'm the man. I will help you promote it. if you want to do it.
I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that because I know I can see you love the music. I can hear that you love the music, and I appreciate that. I even told that to him too. And I said, you know what, this brother, he really knows this stuff. This is not just mm-hmm. somebody just playing like some old songs. He really knows the music. So mm-hmm. and in speaking to you today, I can hear it. I understand. So if I have something coming out, I will definitely give you a call and let you hear it and then you can do your thing with it.
Yeah, because I feel with this and I'm gonna ask every artist about this R&B is dead movement. And it's just like
is that a movement? Is that real?
Yes, it's a movement that this young generation put out there.
Why would R&B be dead when it's the foundation of so many things? Are you just going to dismiss R&B?
Exactly. Or you think that what's playing on the radio is R&B? Because me growing up listening to R&B, I know what R&B is, and to have this format now because, you know, the social media intake is the foundation of it that's bashing it and then try to write out the ones that played the big part of the foundation where they still out there doing it, like the Diana Rosses, Chaka Khan's, and
Patti LaBelle.
To put this format out there and people to be opinionated and to agree with it. And then it's like a lot of R&B artists need to step up and, you know, say their piece with it because it's not dead.
But you know what, Jay? Opinions are like assholes. Everybody got one. Okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, look, I know what the foundation of the music that I sing is, and people have to realize the music that they're sampling came from somewhere.
Exactly. Or it was influenced by it.
Exactly. So, I mean, and we are all standing on the shoulders of the people that came before us. So you can't dismiss. You can't just say R&B is dead because, you know, that's a big foundation there. So were you just floating in the air? You got to stand on somebody's shoulders. You can't just say R&B is dead.
Exactly. And then you have these artists still doing shows to, you know, for the fans and not just for behalf of them. These are people that appreciate the foundation of it because we grew up on it because a lot of the music plays a soundtrack for lives. So it's not just one genre, but it's just all genre. And you know, you have a lot of indie radio stations like from the UK that have these radio platforms where we could promote what we want to hear. Like the Will Down.
You hear much more R&B in Europe than you hear here. You know,
you hear classic
soul. And and when I say classic soul, I just mean older, you know, but soul mm-hmm. music is soul music. I am a soul singer. I'm not going to say I'm a pop singer. I'm not a pop singer. I'm a soul singer because that's what I grew up on. And then the foundation of that is gospel. Then you got the R&B. Then you got the jazz. So it's like, how can you say R&B is dead? Then you're taking out a whole segment of the music.
Exactly.
And then what are you drawing on? What are you drawing on for inspiration?
I could accept saying R&B changed, but not saying
R&B can change. R&B can grow. We all grow. You know, you hear something and it influences you, and you use a little bit of that to create something that you're working on. And so that's how it all gets enhanced. You know,
mm-hmm.
we use it as an inspiration, but I can't say that's like me saying gospel is dead. It's like, no, gospel is alive and thriving, and it's just becoming more commercial, you know.
Right.
But and I love it. So
yes, it's a different
gospel
outreach.
R&B. You know, it's just I love it. I love it all. I love it all from Yolanda Adams to Lenny Kravitz. I love it all. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So
and that's what I grew up on, jazz and R&B, you know, that's what I pretty much grew up on. And, you know, and you guys' music played a big foundation of who I am as a music lover, you know.
Right.
And to sit here with you and talk to you and learn a lot about you and to appreciate me because I know your brand and I love your brand. And I've tried to, you know, expand more of who I am to let people know and outreach to people that this is one of the foundations, which is you, that you're still here doing it. It may not be marketed mainstream where you can just turn on the radio, but you have music that has longevity where it's in a playlist like Juicy Fruit. Like, that's like longevity.
Like Juicy Fruit
me,
or like Two Hearts with Teddy Pendergrass and Stephanie Mills.
Oh,
I mean, you know, I mean, there's some good stuff out there, and it will always be there. So it's there for people who to find it, to introduce themselves to it, or to a newcomer who hasn't heard this music before.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of things that they can research and find out, you know?
Right.
And then incorporate
that
into whatever it is they're trying to do.
And never write it off, because, like,
and
I
never
said,
write it off. R&B music is forever. R&B stands for real black music. Well, it will always be around. It will always be around. Now, when people come from Europe, like Sam Smith comes over here and starts singing R&B, and it's like, oh, he's the best thing since sliced bread. It's like, well, we've been doing this all along. We've been doing this all along. So it's different when it comes from somebody else's mouth.
Mm-hmm. And they never look
into
the foundation where he got it from.
Right.
Because
he's
not going to present it.
People in Europe, I think they appreciate the music more, because they get a chance to hear it. I mean, oldies but goodies, they get a chance to hear it more so there than we do here, which is a shame, because, you know, we know it's coming from here. So, you know, R&B forever. Black music forever.
Black music forever. Exactly.
Black music forever.
So what are the artists that you listen to right now?
You know who I like right now? I like her. Her is a great songwriter.
Oh, my God.
Singer. I like her. I like, going back, I like Jasmine Sullivan. I like Bilal. That's my nephew, Bilal. I like, who else do I like? Rafael Sadiq, but that's not new. You know what I'm saying? That's not new. So I like people who are putting out good music, whether they're older or brand new. As long as I can feel like they're appreciating the music. I like, who else do I like that's new? I like Kendrick Lamar. I'm waiting for him to put something out now. It's like, come on, like, you know. I like anybody who touches me. If I can feel something from, even if it's just a phrase or something that they do, it's like, they got me.
Right. Exactly. Because like I said, music is a format of feeling. And when you don't have these artists, like, to be honest with you, I go into the indie route. It's so many good indie artists out there that it's like hitting me like in my heart, like, ooh. And, you know,
like who, so I can check him out.
Well, it's this guy named James Holmes. Shout out to James Holmes. He was a background vocalist for D'Angelo when he had Vanguard band. Yeah, he is. Oh my God. Oh my God. Church.
Okay, I can check
that
him
is
out.
Church.
Oh, you know who I
saw?
The Hamiltones. I saw the Hamiltones recently.
Yes, them too. Yeah.
I like them, and I like you know, Anthony,
I like
Hamilton,
PJ Moore.
And.
PJ Morton.
Oh, I love PJ Morton. Oh my God. And I like his father. And I like the bishop.
Right. And I love
And I like the bishop.
And you know who I really still love and never want to give up on him? Rashad Patterson. That is my boy.
Oh my God. Oh, I love him. I love him.
Mm-hmm. And the way that he did that Luther remake too, that Don't You Know?
Oh my God. Oh, Rashad Patterson is like, oh, I love him so much. And I now, you know what? That's someone who I would like to meet. I would like to meet Rashad Patterson.
Oh, well, he's good people with me. I know him, so.
Well, please express to him that I am a huge fan. And I have all of his CDs.
And he's a huge
even
fan
the Chris,
of
even
too.
The Christmas one.
Oh, wow. I'll
definitely
reach out to him and tell him that, because, you know.
Yeah, so if he Deborah, in the New York area, I would love to come and see him, you know, because I love him and what he stands for. So it's and the tone of his voice is just amazing
to
me.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
I call him the male Chaka Khan to me. He's like the male Chaka Khan to me.
Okay.
Yeah, I refer him to that because his tone, everything with him, and, you know, his artistry with his music is, it's like, wow. It's different,
mm-hmm.
but it's good
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
nothing, not in none of his production or vocaling doesn't overshadow anything of it. It's like a blend together, and that's
right.
what I like.
Which
with
is
artists.
How it should be.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because you
which
have
is,
those ones.
Which is how it should be. Yeah.
You have those.
And you know
that
who else
vocal
I like?
Production. Mm-hmm.
I like Lizzo because she has a certain freedom. She has
mm-hmm.
a certain freedom that she's allowed to do whatever she wants. You know, when R&B singers coming up, I mean, back in the day, we were put in spots where it's like, well, this is what you can do. You can't do more than this, you know.
Right.
So it's like she's got the freedom to do whatever. I like Rihanna, you know.
Yeah, I like her too.
I like her. I like her voice. I mean, and all the regulars, of course, Aretha. I worked a lot with Aretha Franklin. I toured with Aretha. And so Miss the Queen, that she truly is the Queen of Soul. I don't think anyone will ever take her place.
No.
But there will be others. There will be others, of course. But, you know, Aretha will stand the test of time. So, you know.
Right. And I think that you, like I said, your resume is a big part of soul music because you worked with a lot of people and were in the forefront of yourself too. And you are the epitome of a R&B gem to me.
Oh my goodness. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yes, definitely, because your work, your body of work is just out there, and people that are music lovers like myself, I research and not research. I grew up on this, so I was
mm-hmm.
the type of person that I read the liner notes. I worked on the album, everything. Listened to the vocals, who did this, who did that, and you were one of them. And everybody always tell me who was one of your favorite underrated female artist, and I say you.
Oh my goodness! Thank you
yeah.
so much. I'm very honored. I'm very honored.
And
you
know,
I've just had it's been a wonderful career. It's been a wonderful career, and I mean, because I've done all genres of music. We basically dealt on the R&B here, but it's all genres, and it's available to everyone. And my whole point is to make sure that people know that, you know, everybody can't be in the front. Everybody can't be Beyonce. Everybody can't be Rihanna. Everybody can't be Aretha. But there's this work. You can still work consistently and still be in the music business without being in the front. You know, as a background singer, you can, it's a lot of work, but it's such an enjoyment for me to work with people like, I mean, I've worked with Ray Charles and Nancy Wilson and people people that you wouldn't expect. I mean, this little girl, me, from Newark, which has traveled all over the world singing with all types of artists. I mean, it's from country western to Lyle Lovett to Michael Jackson to Joe Cocker. I mean, people that they won't even know. Eric Clapton. The Blue Man Group, Bob Dylan, I mean, David Bowie. I mean, it's been an adventure, and the adventure continues, you know.
Well, Tawatha, I appreciate you for taking the time out to come and do my show because it means a lot to me, and, you know, I'm hoping to hear from you again because I'm waiting for this new music also, definitely.
Well, even if it's not new music, we can still talk. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because this I swear this conversation can go on for 2 hours. I'm serious. And also,
oh, yeah. And you can keep me abreast of the newcomers. So I can, you know, to keep me in the loop. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, definitely. And
because I always want to know who the new and the next are. You know.
Exactly. And so tell everybody where they can reach you at on social media.
Okay. You can reach me at Tawatha AG on all social platforms. TawathaAgee at Tawatha AG, Facebook, Instagram. And you can reach me, go to my website, www.tawathaag.com, and you can get all the information. It's a beautiful website. You'll learn a lot more about me.
That website is laid.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
It's all gorgeous. About you. I mean, I was like the pictures, the detailing of it. I mean, it's like, wow, I love it. And I see that you're still out there doing it. And like I said, again, I appreciate you took the time for you to do this. You know, it's been long overdue.
Well, it was my pleasure. Media. And it's people like you and Soul Cravers Radio. It's people like you who keep the music going. And I really appreciate that. And I love listening to all your guests, and I know you're going to take a break and start up again in April, but I will definitely be listening. I will definitely be listening. And thank you so much, Jay Ross. I appreciate you, and best of luck to you in all of your endeavors.
Thank you. Appreciate you, Tawatha.
So I don't know who interviewed who. I think we interviewed each other today.
And we're pretty much, but I love it.
We interviewed each other. I love it.
And thank you guys for listening and tuning in. I have another show coming up. So at 1:30, 4:30 Eastern Standard Time. So tune in to Soul Cravers Radio again. Thank you, Tawatha, again.
My pleasure.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.